Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers Cowboys in the NFC Divisional Playoffs is almost upon us. And as we normally do on our final show of the week leading into the game, we talk about keys to victory. And we just heard from Mike McCarthy before we stepped into record this episode that Jordy Nelson has officially been ruled out of Sunday's game with a rib injury. So that certainly leads to one big key to victory for the Packers, which is to keep this offense rolling without its number one receiver.
Yeah, and the best way to do that, Mike, I think it's going to be really what the bread and butter of the Packers offense has been for most of the second half of the season, and that's utilizing all of your personnel. I think you're going to see a lot of guys mixed in there. I think you're going to need a lot of different guys to step up. Probably leading that list, though, I think, is Davante Adams. I mean, we all know what Randall Cobb can do in the slot, but Adams, there's going to be more attention drawn to him. Mike McCarthy acknowledged that without Nelson, there's going to be a lot more eyes on the third-year receiver. And here's the thing about Adams is that we saw he can make some tight, contested catches. Those are the type of momentum plays that I think when you're talking about rhythm really can help this offense. It certainly helped them against the Giants. So whether it's Adams, Cobb, Jared Cook, all the way through the lineup, they need some guys to step up, and I think there's optimism in that locker room that they will.
Yeah, I would agree. There's definitely plenty of optimism, as we've talked about all week long, the final three quarters essentially, two and a half quarters at least, of the Giants game last week. Jordy Nelson was not on the field, yet the Packers put up 38 points. They hadn't scored while Nelson was still in the game. So there's plenty of confidence in that respect. And I agree with you that it is about really spreading out the offensive production. You can't go into this game and say, okay, Davante Adams has to have 150 yards in order for the Packers to win. Or, you know, Randall Cobb needs to have three touchdowns again like he had last week. You can't take that approach, and the Packers won't. One thing that I will say about Adams, though, that I think has been most impressive to me as he's really grown and developed this season and also showing in stark contrast to last season, sometimes his footwork coming off the line of scrimmage when he's one-on-one with a defensive back, especially in press coverage, his footwork is so quick and so explosive that he gets open right away for a slant or possibly for a fade. And that's something that simply was missing last year when he wasn't healthy, when he was dealing with the ankle injury. And I think that's been the biggest step forward in his game is what he does right at the snap at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation, Mike, because Davante Adams, when you look at him on paper, he projects as an all-around, all-encompassing type receiver. But it's based on a lot of that footwork and based on a lot of his technique. When he did have the ankle injury, I think that took him out of that a little bit, and he had to do things differently. Not saying that he wasn't able to, but I think it changed the course so significantly of his season. And certainly when you're playing with things like that, it hurts inside and out of your breaks. So for Adams to be healthy this year, I think was the number one really precursor to him having the season that he's had. And certainly when you look at some of those throws that Rodgers has made, just completely on the dime money throws, the window is so small, both from the receiver's perspective and the quarterback, and yet both of those guys have been able to get their timing on. A huge key for them this season, and definitely without Jordy Nelson, is going to be a big thing the Packers are going to need against the Cowboys.
Yeah, and we'll really have to watch closely just how the Cowboys schematically now go about defending the Packers, because we've seen all season, especially in the second half of the season when Nelson really started to find his groove and start to look like the Jordy of old, whether he lined up outside or in the slot, wherever he was, we saw safety coverage over the top. Right. We saw kind of that bracket coverage on Nelson. With him not in the game, where do those safeties go? Do they want to bracket Jared Cook? Do they want to bracket Davante Adams or Randall Cobb? Maybe it's Geronimo Allison is the under-the-radar guy. Granted, it'd be hard for him to really stay under the radar after what he did those two games, which I'm sure the Cowboys have studied on film. But really, this falls down to Aaron Rodgers. He's a master at reading defenses, perhaps trying to manipulate defenses. But he has to find the matchups that he can go after based on how the Cowboys are going to defend Green Bay without number 87 out there.
Yeah, the perfect illustration of that point, too, Mike, is that first game against the Bears. They made such a point of emphasis to stop Nelson. You had Tracy Porter traveling with them. You had extra safeties paying attention. And he was held, I believe it was one catch for 9 yards. But on the other side of that, they had three guys have 10 catches in that game.
Right.
So, I mean, there's different ways for the offense to be successful. We've talked about that a lot with Cook, but certainly with what Jordy Nelson has done, he fits into that category as well. So how do the Packers react? How do they respond? If you're feeling good about Allison right now from a fan perspective, there's a good reason why. I mean, he had 157 yards receiving and a touchdown in the two games where he was spelling Cobb when Cobb was out with the ankle injury. Mike McCarthy said he's had confidence in him long before that. So they've proven through the course of the season that young guys can step up, and that's going to be a big thing. I think that's going to go far for this offense if they're going to have success against Dallas.
I would agree. And with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Mike Spofford here. Wes, keys to the victory on the defensive side of the ball. Certainly plenty of them that the Packers have to pay attention to, but the conversation begins with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think the big key and the X factor is the big plays, being able to stop those. If you're able to go that far with this offense, being able to limit the downfield opportunities, whether it is for the receivers off play action or just flat out stopping Ezekiel Elliott at the first level, that's going to be the big thing, I think, in terms of the Packers being able to come up with a victory. It's not to say that Ezekiel Elliott can't have a 100-yard day. It's not to say that there aren't – he's going to get his yards.
Yep.
That's understandable. But the thing is, you want to make sure that you keep those yards per carry down. You want to make sure that you don't let a lot of those breaks happen for 15, 20 yards. Those big plays, Dom Capers will tell you, are ultimately what are going to be what dictate a football game and what could really separate a win and a loss. So making sure and being scap sound, being fundamentally sound, you wrote about it this week, that's what this comes back to. And certainly Elliott is a guy that will stress that.
Yeah.
But as LaTroy Guyon and a bunch of guys said this week, I mean, it's not anything that they haven't seen before. They feel like they can still stop it.
Yeah, you said it when it comes to the explosive runs. You look at the first game, the Packers-Cowboys back in October at Lambeau Field. Elliott had runs of 11, 14, 25, and 29 yards on four different possessions. All four of those possessions ended in points for the Dallas Cowboys. That's how they do it. I mean, they get a big run. They get the defense overcommitted to the run then after that, because you don't want somebody to just ram it down your throat all the way down the field. Then here comes the play action to Cole Beasley, to Jason Witten, to Dez Bryant, who wasn't in the first game but will be out there on Sunday. That's how this team does it. I was interested in hearing from the Packers defenders in the locker room this week, the way they talked about Elliott, and I wrote about this on the website. They talk about him not bringing up his name, but they say a lot of the same things. They've said a lot of the same things over the years about Adrian Peterson,
right?
That it's like, you have to stay in your gap. You can't try to do too much, because he has such good vision that if he sees anybody out of position, even if the play is not designed to go there, that's where he will go and he will bust a big run on you. The Packers have said that over the years, over the last decade, about Adrian Peterson. And those were the kinds of things they were saying about Ezekiel Elliott when they looked back at the film from the first game in October.
Right. I mean, a truly elite running backs can do that to you. And Mike McCarthy alluded to it this week. I thought you made a good point with it as well. Elliott is a rare type of running back where he doesn't run to the hole. He runs to the crease. He looks for the opening before it even develops.
Yep.
And that's what makes him such an effective player, especially when you pair him with that offensive line. And there has been, you know, the one thing I want to make sure I make very clear, even though he was the NFL rushing champion, it's not like it's impossible to stop him, though. I mean, I think he had 700-yard games this year. His first game of the season, his first game as a professional, he only had 52 yards, I think, on like 21 carries. The Giants did a good job of containing him.
Right.
But it goes back to the fundamentals. It goes back to not letting those extra plays leak out. It's easier said than done, especially with his size and how strong he is. But I think the Packers, if they look at this thing, there is an option there for them to potentially not necessarily stop him, but definitely contain his production.
Do you have a number in mind that's sort of the over-under number that you think maybe is where the Packers need to keep this? Because as you said, he's going to get his
right.
yards. I saw there was one fan who wrote in Insider Inbox this week saying, oh, this will be the Barry Sanders, you know, they'll hold
yeah.
him to minus one in the playoffs, you know. I don't think that's going to happen. But Do you have a ballpark number in mind that you think the Packers need to keep this at?
Yeah, I don't know if it's total yards because, you know, what are total yards? How many attempts are there going to be? But I think if you really can keep them underneath 4 yards a carry, that's a win. That's a victory. It's not been done a lot this year. He's had a lot of 5 and 6 yard per carry games.
Yeah.
But anywhere in that 3.8 to 4.2 area, I think can be really effective for this offense going forward. Here's the thing to remember about the Cowboys. They're like Lyle Overbay in 2004. You remember Lyle Overbay?
Sure.
I'm going to make the first ever Lyle Overbay and Ezekiel Elliott comparison. Overbay only hit like 16 home runs that year, but he had 53 doubles. That's the Cowboys' offense with Elliott. They are looking to get singles and doubles and not strike out. Seriously.
Yeah.
They aren't going to hit you with a lot of giant, massive, big plays, but they're so efficient at moving the chains. Elliott is principal number one in that, and it's what's allowed them to have the success and efficiency they've had this season.
Yeah, for me, and I don't know why, but for some reason the number that's in my head is about 110 yards rushing. And I don't know exactly how I came up with that, but I'll say this. When I look back at the first game statistically, looking at the play-by-play, I thought the Packers were essentially on pace to hold Elliott to about 110 or 120 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, he busted a couple of big runs when the Cowboys had the lead, and that pushed him up over 150. By the same token, the Packers blew some scoring chances when they could have gotten touchdowns and had to kick field goals, and that's why in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys had a comfortable lead to where they could just pound Elliott until he broke those runs. The way the Packers have been converting in the red zone offensively, 20 out of 28, I actually looked this up. Over the seven-game winning streak, 20 out of 28 in the red zone is remarkable. If the Packers can keep that up in the red zone and score touchdowns and then keep Elliott, as you said, to like that 4 yards a carry where maybe it's around 100, 110 yards instead of that 150, I think the Packers can win this ballgame.
Absolutely, because he's going to get his touches. That's what's to remember. I mean, he's going to get 25 touches in this game.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, on Thursday evening, we heard from Packers defensive coordinator Dom Capers, and he had some interesting comments about two players that would seem to be headed for some very key roles in this game on Sunday. One veteran, one young guy, that being Julius Peppers and Demaryius Randall. Let's start with Peppers, because I think when I look at this game with Clay Matthews, we know he's not 100% with the shoulder. Nick Perry's still out there with some sort of a club cast type of thing on his hand, whatever he's going to be dealing with. And you look at what Peppers has done in recent weeks, the sack really that turned the tide in the Giants game, the forced fumble against DeMarco Murray when the Cowboys came to Lambeau Field in the playoffs 2 years ago. I think this is a very, very potentially a very big game for Julius Peppers, and the Packers need it.
Yeah, you know how they have Mike McCarthy talked about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about Jared Cook and how they should have a stat on how guys draw attention.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the offense. I think there should be a stat, and it would be a very basic general stat, but in terms of big plays per game. And I know you can quantify that in a number of ways, but think about it. With Julius Peppers, can you think of any other player, maybe Clay Matthews from the defensive perspective that we've had experience with, who makes more plays that really change not only just the field position or, you know, the turning over the football, but just seem to change the momentum of a ball game?
Yeah.
That's the thing that stood out to me the most in Peppers' 3 seasons in Green Bay. How many moments he's had where he's made a critical play, a strip sack for a fumble. Did that, what, 2 years ago against Dallas? I mean, you look at the strip sack in a fumble against Chicago. He really is a once-in-a-lifetime player. We say that all the time, you know, and sometimes I think it can become a cliche, but Peppers does an amazing job of affecting a football game.
Yep.
And I think when you talk about they need a big performance out of Julius Peppers, it's not a given that you're always going to get that every week in the NFL, that you're going to have a big game-changing play. But it always seems like there's one moment in a lot of these games, particularly in the second half of the season, where Julius Peppers does something incredible.
Yeah, and he did have a strip sack on Prescott in the game here back in October. But I agree with you. Peppers is that guy who seems to have a knack for making that play when a team, you know, absolutely has to have it. He's not a guy who's necessarily going to draw the double team in the blocking scheme because Clay Matthews is usually on the field somewhere and defenses are paying more attention to him. And Peppers, he's been in this league so long, he's a master at setting up, you know, the guy that he's going against, you know, might be play after play, he does this and does that, and then he's setting him up for a certain move on a certain third down. That's what the Packers have Julius Peppers here for, to make those difference-making plays. And if he can get one on Sunday, I think the Packers obviously have to continue the trend they've been on of winning the turnover battle. And not only do they need to protect it on offense, but a guy like Peppers or whoever it is needs to get a turnover on Sunday as
well. Yeah, and we talk so often about the offense, you know, getting off to a fast start. I think this is a game where the defense really needs to have a fast start because you don't know what Prescott's mindset's going to be with his first big game. You know, Elliott's his first playoff game. It's for his first game in, what, 3 weeks now since he's actually played.
Yeah.
So if they're able to get some of those opportunities, because you know there's going to be times where the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is going to win, that's the way that they're built. They're built for that. But there are going to be chances, and it's about executing on those and making sure that you make them pay. Peppers has done that. And even in games like Chicago where maybe it was just one play, he can find a way to really tilt the field. And I think that's what the Packers ultimately need in a game like this, particularly facing a hostile crowd and an energetic crowd that, like, they'll probably see at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, and another guy that Capers mentioned fairly prominently was Demaryius Randle. Brought him up in part because something that you had said earlier in the week when Randle talked to reporters at the beginning of the week said, hey, this is as healthy as I've felt on a Monday after a game in a long time. He's been dealing with a litany of injuries all season long. He's actually not on the injury report this week, I don't think, which is the first time in a long time that he's not listed there. And we all know when Demaryius Randle is healthy, his speed, his instincts, he has the ability to make a game-changing type of play too. And we don't know whether he'll be lined up across from Bryant or Beasley or Terrence Williams or however the Packers are going to go about it. But I think Demaryius Randle's another guy to keep an eye on. Sunday.
Well, and it's good the Packers are in a position where we actually don't know where he's going to have to line up because they have options at that position. We've seen Quentin Rollins come back this week. He's still in the concussion protocol, but being able to practice again is such a good sign for him after being carted off the field in Detroit.
Right.
There's a number of ways you can use Randle, inside, outside, in between. He made a huge play at the end of that game. He showed his ball-hawking skills again. Now, mind you, it was kind of in hand at that matter, but that is the kind of confidence boost I think you need going down the stretch here, and the Packers will have to see if they can get another one of those against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like that idea as well. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we wrap up the show for the week, let's take a quick glance at the other divisional playoff games around the league. In chronological order, it starts late Saturday afternoon with the Seattle Seahawks at the Atlanta Falcons. Then Saturday night, you have the Houston Texans at New England. Sunday early in the day is the Pittsburgh Steelers at Kansas City Chiefs. And then Packers-Cowboys concludes the quartet of games late Sunday afternoon. I don't know about you, but other than New England hosting a Houston team that would seem to be a major, major underdog, certainly the odds makers think so, the other three games, I think they're all a flip of the coin.
Yeah, and I think that's why everyone always talks about divisional round football typically being the most exciting weekend of the season, just based on the amount of games and the amount of competition between them. Yeah, a very rare situation in Houston, or against Houston and New England, where you have a double-digit favorite. You typically don't see that this time of the season.
Right.
But, yeah, you go to Seattle and the Falcons. I mean, that's a game where I'm excited to watch that game, just based on the really interesting blend. You know, you have Seattle that's so run-oriented and move the chains, and you have Atlanta with the big play possibilities against that defense. I think that's going to be a really exciting matchup to watch. And give a little credit to Ron Wolf, too. This divisional playoff round is going to be well represented with former Packers personnel people and a current one in Ted Thompson leading Green Bay into this game against Dallas.
Definitely. The Seahawks-Falcons, a rematch of a regular season game. Actually, all four of these games are rematches of regular season games, which you don't see happen all that often. But probably the closest, most exciting of the regular season ones was Atlanta at Seattle in the regular season, a game that the Falcons probably win if they get a pass interference flag on Richard Sherman on a deep ball to Julio Jones late in the ball game. So you know that the Falcons, the fact that that first one against Seattle didn't go their way, the fact that they're playing at home and how close they came to beating them, the Falcons have to be a supremely confident team right now.
I would think so. You look at the season Matt Ryan had. I know they've had some history in the playoffs and some disappointment, but in terms of confidence, I mean, they have to be feeling at an all-time high right now. They fixed what they needed to fix defensively. You see different guys emerging for them. Vic Beasley's becoming one of the top playmakers in this league. That was kind of the weak spot for a number of years. The offense, you've really improved that offensive front in front of Ryan now, a lot more stability there. And then with the weapons that he has, I mean, outside of Julio Jones, they're not all household names, but they get the job done. And I think that's just going to be, as I said, a really exciting matchup to see how those two teams intermix and who can prevail and get to that NFC title game.
Yeah, kind of the opposite when it comes to the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game, a regular season matchup that was on Sunday Night Football, completely dominated by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Chiefs now getting a rematch there, and John Dorsey with the program that he's established in Kansas City with Andy Reid trying to take that next step. The Chiefs were a divisional round participant last season, losing to the Patriots, and now trying to take that next step to get to the conference championship.
Absolutely. They've been close here the last few years, but Ben Roethlisberger, as seasoned as anybody in playoff football, and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, two of the NFL's top weapons, going up against that defense, I think is going to be really exciting as well.
Yeah, well, it should be a great weekend of NFL football. With that, we'll call it a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the Packers on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.